This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Clay Travis here. We got a lot of requests for this, so I thought it made sense. We do a lot on the wins and losses podcast where it's a long form conversation. And one reason I like to do it is because you're able to go back and listen to it and they're really kind of timeless. Well, we've had the President of the United States on twice and we've spent nearly an hour with him, right around 50 minutes. And I thought, what if we have for perpetuity those interviews so you can go hear what that interview sounded like? And there's an easy way to find them in the years ahead as a part of the Wins and Losses podcast. So we are putting together Donald Trump from August of 2020 on our radio program. And we're also putting Donald Trump from September of our radio program. Combining both of those, you can listen to them now in one place, as many of you are doing. And that podcast will begin now.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are joined now by the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Mr. President, thanks for starting your morning with us. We're excited to have you.
Well, thank you very much, Clay. It's an honor. You have a great show.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, I know you're a longtime sports fan, so there's a lot of things I want to get into with you. But I want to start, you've been a big supporter of Tom Brady for a very long time. What were your thoughts when he decided to move to Tampa Bay, and what do you think he's going to be capable of down there? Will you be rooting for him?
Well, I think he's going to do a great job. You know, he's a winner. He knows how to win. That's a big thing. And he's just been a great quarterback with a great coach. It's a great combination and a great owner in Bob Kraft, frankly. And he probably wanted a change. He wanted a change. And I think, you know, he had plenty of teams to go to. Then he picked one with, from what I understand, a good offensive line and very good receivers. He looked at that closely. I think he probably had other choices where they had players. I think his biggest thing is he wants to win. And from what I know, and I know the ownership of the team, they'll do whatever they have to because they're fantastic people, the owners of the team that Tom's on now. And I think he's going to do well in Tampa Bay. I think he'll do well. I think he'll, I don't know why it would be a surprise, but perhaps it will be, but I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I think he's going to do great.
We're talking to the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Mr. President, what do you hear about the NFL? I know there's been a lot of talk. You mentioned that you talked to several different owners, Bob Kraft in particular. How confident are you that come September 10th with the scheduled opener between the Texans and the Chiefs that the NFL will be underway and everybody out there who's an NFL fan will be able to watch?
Well, they want to open, and they want to open badly, and they've been working with government. I would say this, if they don't stand for the national anthem, I hope they don't open. But other than that, I'd love to see them open, and we're doing everything possible for getting them open. They can protest in other ways. They shouldn't protest our flag or our country.
But, have you talked with owners about your hope that they're going to stand for the national anthem, the players?
They know my feelings very well. They've been expressed. I think it's been horrible for basketball. Look at the basketball ratings; they're down They're down to very low numbers, very, very low numbers. People are angry about it. They don't realize that they don't want, they have enough politics with guys like me. They don't need more as they're driving down, going up for the shot. You know, they don't need it. And there was a nastiness about the NBA the way it was done, too. So yeah. I think that the NBA is in trouble. I think it's in big trouble, bigger trouble than they understand. And frankly, ice hockey, which is doing very well, they didn't do that. They respected the mores. They respected what they're supposed to be doing. And they're actually doing very well, as I understand it. I don't have much time to be watching this stuff, just so you understand. It's just what I'm reading and what I'm seeing. But ice hockey was with respect. I did not like what baseball did, even a little bit. And again, you have to stand for your flag and you have to respect your flag and your country. You're making millions of dollars a year to be playing a sport you'd be playing anyway. If you didn't make, they'd be playing it on the weekends. And they have to respect their country. And if they don't, frankly, if the NFL didn't open, I'd be very happy. If they don't stand for the flag and stand strongly, I would be very happy if they didn't open. Without that, and with that being said, I'd love to see them open.
We're talking to Donald Trump, the president of the United States. And President Trump, when you look at the NBA, and you just referenced the NBA and all of the political statements that they're making, it seems like every time you send a tweet, a executive, a coach, a player, somebody will come out and immediately fire back at you. But yet the NBA is taking billions of dollars from China. There are all sorts of human rights violations going on in China right now. And none of the players and none of the coaches will say a word about that. Does it feel hypocritical that they will rip the United States, they won't stand for the anthem, they'll rip you as the president, but they won't say a negative word about China at all?
Well, I haven't noticed them sending things back at me, but I will say that, you know, I wouldn't be that surprised. Some are very nasty, very, very nasty, and frankly, very dumb. But I haven't noticed that. But I will say this, the way they catered to China, the way they bowed to China, it's a disgrace, frankly. And they make a lot more money here than they do from China. But we have a system that allows you to disrespect your system, and that's too bad for them. Too bad for them. They don't appreciate what they have here. But no, what they did with China and what China did to us with the China virus and the rest of the world, by the way, you know, I mean, the whole rest of the world, they stopped it from going in and spreading in China, but they didn't stop it from spreading in the U.S. and in other parts of the world, including Europe, but other parts in the world, 188 countries. So I watched that whole thing with the general manager of the team. Was it Houston?
Yeah, Daryl Morey, the general manager, who said that he wanted to free Hong Kong. And speaking of Hong Kong, right now you've got, I see the front page of the Wall Street Journal, the China went in and arrested a ton of pro-democracy media members, including Jimmy Lai, I believe, who is one of the most active participants in all of the Hong Kong democracy movement. For people out there who aren't paying attention, why should Americans care about what China's doing in Hong Kong and maybe the threats to Taiwan as well?
Well, look, for years, Hong Kong was making a lot of money that we could have been making in the New York Stock Exchange and our great exchanges. You know, we have the biggest exchanges. We have the great dollar, the dollar, which I've made stronger, much stronger than it used to be. I hope people recognize that in the world of sports. Our country is in good shape, and we're coming back so strong. It's incredible when you look at the numbers that we're producing and putting up. We're coming back very strong, and we save millions and millions of lives by closing down and restarting. But I will say that with Hong Kong, we gave tremendous incentives and cost us a fortune to keep Hong Kong viable and going. And now what we've done, I've ended everything. I've ended all of that. There is no incentive whatsoever. We're not sending money through incentives back to Hong Kong. We're going to make a lot more money because they're not going to be competitive. It won't be a competitive market. Can't be with the government running it. So they're going to have a different kind of a deal. And we're not participating from the standpoint of we're not spending, you know, billions of dollars on making life comfortable with them for freedom. And that was okay. We'd do that if they were free, but they're not free. You know, it's a part. It's a part when you look. I mean, take a look at a map. It's attached to China. You know, so it's a little bit tough from certain standpoints. But we will do very well by not having a good competitor. I guess it'll be a competitor, but on a much smaller scale.
I know you have a good relationship with Chairman Xi over in China, but you mentioned the China virus, the virus that is obviously swept around the nation. You mentioned Hong Kong and the challenge to democracy there. Do you feel a bit disappointed in your friend Chairman Xi and how he has responded with China, with the virus, and also with Hong Kong?
Well, I used to have a very good relationship with him. We made a trade deal. It was a great deal for us. You know, look, China's ripped off our country for 30 years like nobody ever. Nobody's ever done anything like what they've done. And we had a bunch of people sitting in the office that I'm in now that allowed it to happen. We were losing $500 billion a year in trade with China. The deficit was massive, probably averaged $200 or $300 billion over many years. We helped rebuild China. Look, if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't have China as you know it today. We gave so much money, so stupidly how these people allowed it to happen. And I came in and I charged them 25% tariffs and even more than that. But I had a great relationship with President Xi. I like him, but I don't feel the same way now. You know, every once in a while you will say, and you've had it very well. And Clay, I understand, I know you, indirectly I know you, and you have your likes and dislikes very strongly, so do I. But I didn't like what took place. This is not trade, this is 1,000 times a trade deal, what happened with all of the death and all of the, you know, world. I mean, the world had a shutdown. It's a disgrace what happened. You look at some of these countries in Europe were just devastated. Look at what's going on in Africa with this horrible disease. So, you know, I certainly feel differently. I had a very, very good relationship, and I haven't spoken to him in a long time. It's a much different. We have a much different relationship with China now than we did for years, where they ripped us off. And then I stopped that. They were having the worst year they had in 67 years. Because I charged them tariffs and we were making a lot of money. I was giving a lot of money to farmers. They were targeting farmers. I gave $28 billion. That was the amount. And it came all out of China. And the farmers are doing great because of it. Otherwise, they would have been all out of business. But, you know, I treated them as you would do it. But I still had a good relationship. But once the plague came in from China, I call it the plague. But once the plague came in from China, the relationship changed, no question about it. It would be hard to believe that it wouldn't change.
We're talking to the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Mr. President, much less serious in terms of the plague, although the virus is impacting many different parts of sports in America, including potentially college football. I know you're a big college football fan. You went to the LSU-Alabama game this past year, Joe Burrow against Tua Tagovailoa, great game. You went to the national title game where Clemson played against LSU. Why is it important for college football to be played, and what do you think you can do to help that happen?
Well, first of all, those people, the people in that sport, it's just like incredible people. And, you know, like some of the coaches, like Nick Saban and Coach O. How about Coach O?
He's amazing.
He's central casting, right? You're doing
yes.
a football movie, you got to pick him as your coach, right? And,
yes.
And put him in the movie. And Lou Holtz is just a fantastic guy, a friend of mine. He's been a supporter from the beginning. And, you know, just so many others. They're just great people. And they want to play football. And they know better than anyone else. The other thing is, and somebody was explaining, I had actually one of the great doctors. He said, these people are so powerful and so strong, and not lots of body fat, although you could take a couple of offensive linemen perhaps and dispute that, but not a lot of body fat, maybe none in some cases, you know, and they're very healthy people. They, you know, people don't realize it's a tiny percentage of people that get sick, and they're old. It just attacks old people, especially old people with bad heart, diabetes, or some kind of a physical problem, a weight problem. Isn't it wonderful that I'm of a perfect physical specimen? It's so great.
Yeah, you're 3% body fat, right?
That's right. I was, 0%. Didn't I have 0%? Somebody said I had 0% body fat. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
But this attacks older people, very viciously, by the way. It can be if it's the wrong person. But, you know, these football players are very young, strong people. And physically, I mean, they're physically in extraordinary shape. So they're not going to have a problem. You're not going to see people, you know, could there be, could it happen? But I doubt it. You're not going to see people dying. And many people get it, and they have, like, kids, they get it. They have the sniffles. Young kids, almost none have a serious problem with it. I mean, literally, you look, I think they said the state of California, almost nobody that's young had a, like zero, had a problem with, meaning a serious problem with this disease. I mean, they get better very quickly if they get it at all. So I think football's making a tragic mistake. And, you know, it's interesting. When it opens, when I went to that game, it was incredible. I went to a couple of them, and I never really did the big-time college football. I went to an Ivy League school. It wasn't quite the same. But when I went to Alabama and I went to LSU, and, you know, these stadiums are massive. You have no idea about that. It's much bigger crowds than the NFL. You know, in the NFL, you have 60. And here we had, I think, 115,000 people. And you go to see these games, and it's brilliant football. It's great football. It's the atmosphere. There's nothing like it. And you can't have empty seats. You know, if I had five empty seats, for instance, they said when I do a rally, sir, the reason I won't do them because you can't have one seat and then seven around that seat, sir, have to be empty. Oh, that'll look great. You know, you have one person and everything's fake empty around them. Can't do that. I'm not sure that college football can do it, but we'll have to see. You know, some sports, I see. I think golf has not been hurt visually. In fact, I think golf looks more beautiful, if you want to know the truth. You know, instead of a lot of people, you know, the cheering's good, and certainly I guess the income is good and all, but golf works. You know what works is UFC works very well. UFC, I watched that the other night, and they light up the stage. They light up the cage. And it's, you know, really bright. They darken the arena, maybe put a little silk around it, who knows. But that works. And other sports don't work. Basketball's not working. I think basketball's not working because of the way they treated our flag and our anthem, if you want to know the truth. But it doesn't seem to have anything. I looked at it, and I couldn't watch it. And baseball, I haven't made a ruling on that yet in terms of my own. I haven't had much of a chance to watch it. But some sports are working okay, and some sports aren't. But I thought golf looked really good for the PGA. I didn't miss the fans, and I think that probably UFC was a very good one. I am not impressed. Somebody told me hockey works okay, but those sports are meant more for fans. I really believe that. I think they're meant more for fans. I think basketball is going to need its fans back from what I'm seeing. It looks very dull.
I know you're ready for the economy to be back rolling, and sports are a big part of that, and schools opening are also a big part of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about both, but I also wonder, do you ever think to yourself, I should play a trick on the media and say the exact opposite of what I actually believe so they'll support
that's
it?
So
because
funny.
It seems like every time you come out, like you say schools should open, and the media immediately says, oh, schools can't open. But if you had said, hey, we can't open schools, I feel like the media would have said, oh, we got to open schools. The president's crazy. You ever think about using that
so
and playing
funny
a mind
that
trick
you
on them?
Because I talk about it all the time. Nobody else does. I say, look, I could have had the wall built very easy. You know, we're building a wall, but it was getting it like was pulling teeth. And the Democrats opposed, et cetera, like, you know, you watch that, and now it's being built. We're up to 277 miles. It'll be done by the end of the year, a little bit after the end of the year. It's incredible the impact it's had. Anyway, if I would have said, I don't want a wall, they would have given it to immediately. This hydroxychloroquine, a lot of doctors swear by it. By my saying, it's good. I took it for 2 weeks. You know, there was a little outbreak around Washington, and I said, let me have something. And I took it for 2 weeks, and it was fine. You know, it was great. I didn't have it. I didn't get it. And I had no problem whatsoever with it. You know, it's been around for a long time. It's a malaria pill, actually, and lupus, and it causes no problem. But as soon as I came out with it, they said, oh, it doesn't work. And they went crazy. They still are on Twitter. It's number one all the time, which is phony. It's number one all the time in trending hydroxy, you know, negative hydroxy stuff. If I would have said, I don't believe in hydroxychloroquine, it's terrible, with zinc and with, you know, the Z-Pak, Zithromycin. If I would have said, I don't believe in it, it doesn't work, it would be the hottest thing going right now. No, I say it all the time. We could say it about a lot of different things. Even religion. I held a Bible in front of a church that the agitators and anarchists, you know, they call them protesters, they tried to burn down a church. And I held a Bible up in front of the church, and they said it was a terrible thing I did. So I said, I even affect religion negatively, okay? I hold a Bible in front of a church that they tried to burn down the day before, and they say, isn't he a terrible human being? And I said, I've affected religion, hydroxy, and just about anything else. Maybe even your show after today. That'll be the end. You've got these great ratings going, I see, Clay, and you have a hell of a show. Maybe I will have destroyed your show, but you know the end result? Our country now is so strong. Our military has been rebuilt. Our taxes have been cut way back, and regulations, and what I've done for the vets, nobody's ever done. Nobody's ever even come close to doing. And, you know, so many other things. We've done more than anybody, including even Space Force, right? Space Force. So we've done a lot, but we have to fight hard. Probably I have to fight harder than a lot of other people.
Last question for you, because I know you got a ton of things to go. There's talk that Joe Biden's going to announce his vice president either today or tomorrow. It seems like it's dragged on for some time. Who do you think he's going to pick? Who should he pick? I know you like playing the political game. You weren't a politician for a long time. If you were sitting back on your couch watching television and following this election, what do you think he's going to do? What do you think he should do?
Well, I think that I would be inclined to go a different route than what he's done, you know, doing it the way he, first of all, he roped himself into, you know, a certain group of people. Which
he said he had to pick a woman.
He said that, and, you know, some people would say that men are insulted by that, and some people would say it's fine. I don't know. I will say this. People don't vote for the vice. You know, this is history. This isn't necessarily me. This is history because we have a great vice president. Mike Pence has been incredible, actually. He's been a great vice president and done a really, really good job in everything I've given him. But people don't vote for the vice president. They really don't. They don't vote for the vice president. Like, you can pick George Washington to be your vice president. Let's pick up Abraham Lincoln coming back from the dead. They just don't seem to vote for the vice president. Now, in this case, you know, because Joe's got some things going on. Let's not kid ourselves, unless you, I don't know where your politics are, but Joe's got some pretty big things going on. So, you know, this is going to be a very, very important pick, and it'll be interesting to see who he chooses. I'm interested to see also. In the end, I don't think it's going to matter. Joe's going to have to stand at his own 2 feet. And we're doing very well. Our poll numbers have really come up. You know, we were unbeatable. And then we got hit by the China virus. And obviously we got hit hard. And that affects a politician. You know, look all over the world. When you get hit, it affects a politician. So we fought and we've done a really good job with that and every other thing. And now the economy's come back so strong. And my poll numbers are good. They're getting very good. I think they're going to go even much higher. People appreciate what we're doing. So I don't know who he's going to pick. In theory, it doesn't matter much, but maybe with him, it probably matters much more than it normally does for the obvious reason.
I know I said last question, but I hit you with a sports question on your way out. The number one debate among sports fans for the last 10 years probably has been who is better as a basketball player, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Which do you think, no doubt in your mind?
Well, I've seen them both. Michael Jordan is, plus he wasn't political, so people like him better.
That is a perfect answer. Donald Trump, President Trump, I appreciate you coming on. You're happy to have welcome to come on anytime to talk sports with us. Thank you for the time this morning, sir, and good luck the rest of your term and maybe a next one, too.
Thank you very much. Great. Thank you.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years, and not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
It's always fun to say, joined now by the President of the United States, Donald Trump. President Trump, appreciate you joining us. You going to be watching the U.S. Open at all? Have you played winged foot before?
I'm actually a member of Winged Foot.
That's a pretty good deal.
I've played it many times. It's a great place. Great course and a great place.
What do you think? Will the score of the winner at the U.S. Open, given how challenging those conditions are, last time it was +5, do you think someone will go under par, or do you think it'll be an over par?
I think so, because the players are so good and they're so deep. So you would think so. It was one of the higher scores. I guess that's right. It was +5, which you don't see anymore. So let's see. I mean, between the players and technology and everything else, but Wingfoot's great and the rough is very tough looking. If they hit the fairway, they'll be okay. If they don't, they're going to be in big trouble. But it's going to be a great Open.
What's the best score you ever had in a round? You're a member there. What's the best you've ever done?
At Wingfoot, I'd say low 70s, probably quite a bit. Low 70s would be what I've been a member there a long time. And I could do pretty well, but it's just a great place. It's a wonderful place. I've enjoyed it for a long time.
You've played with a lot of the top golfers in the world, many of whom will be playing at Winged Foot.
Right.
What's one of the most fun rounds you've had with a Tiger Woods or a Rory McIlroy? And what's that experience like getting to play with a top golfer as a president?
Well, the experience is terrible because you realize how bad you are. You know, there is a big difference. I mean, you can be a good golfer, and when you play with these top people, even anybody on tour, I always say if there's anybody on tour, even somebody that you've never heard of, I have a little expression, you know, on the first tee, always take the tour player, always, because they're really good, and they're better. You know, it's very hard to get on tour. It's very hard to stay on tour. So if you have the option, always take Clay, the tour player. You'll very rarely do badly. I found that over the years.
You've played a lot of golf over the years, but, you know, I'm not very good. I'm an awful golfer. But every now and then you have a good round going and somebody sees
right.
you and, like, they pull you up and they say, hey, you can play through. And, you know, you get nervous because you're like, if you get called up to get played through, you don't want to shank one. You don't want to hit a bad shot. When you're
right.
playing with the Tiger Woods or Rory McIlroy, even as often as you have played, do you get nervous in the tee box teeing off with them?
Yeah, I think a little bit. But, you know, you're always a little bit nervous when you're in something. It depends. I think the most nervous you get in golf is when you play in the club championships. That's our major, okay?
Yes.
Club, you know, without strokes or anything. When you're playing in a club championship, to me, I think that's the most. I have friends that are very, very good golfers, scratch players, and they almost can't play in a club championship. They don't play well, and they just can't do it. It's the pressure. And I've had a lot of friends that just can't do it. I think that's our major, right? And
yes.
That's like a big deal. But you certainly get a little nervous. I play with Tiger a lot, actually. He's a great guy, really a great guy. And it was amazing that he won the Masters so recently. And you know, to me, it was one of the great achievements. But he's a wonderful person, actually. People don't know him. They're all good. You know, it's interesting. When I play with golfers, I find them all to be very high quality. I very rarely play with a tour player or something that you don't like. I just find them to be very nice. Now, you know, they're playing with the president, so perhaps they're on good behavior. I don't know. But this was before I became president. I just find golfers to be a very high quality group of people.
I've played a few pro-ams, and you know, they announce your name and you come right up and you take a practice swing and there's people lined up. And I always think, I just don't want to kill someone, you know, by shanking one with people lined up really close to you. You ever hit somebody and have to sign a golf, you know, like they always sign the golf gloves, you know, if you hit somebody down there? You ever had a bad pro-am experience?
No, I've had bad experiences, but not hitting people. I've had bad because I'll play badly or something.
Yes.
But not for hitting people. Pro-ams are okay because usually you have three or four amateurs and the pro, and there's always somebody to lift you up, right, if you're not playing well. But pro-ams are great. They're a lot of fun. But no, Gerald Ford was famous for hitting people, right?
That's right.
I don't know what happened. He would always, every time he played, he had a propensity for seeing to do. He's actually a good athlete. I don't know if he was a good golfer, but he was a very good athlete. But he had a tendency to do that.
It's an easy transition there because Gerald Ford was a huge University of Michigan fan. Like, he would have them play Hell to the Victors, I think, instead of Hell to the Chief a lot of times when he would walk around because he was such a big Wolverine fan. You have been instrumental, and your administration has been instrumental in helping to get Big Ten football back. Tell me about your call with Kevin Warren, what the experience was like to help to make what became yesterday a reality. All these kids, all these schools, all these athletes, not just football, a lot of people not talking about it, but fall sports in the Big Ten back and able to now play. How proud of you are of that accomplishment and what went into it?
Well, I'm really proud of it because it was dead. It was totally dead. And I told my people, look, we got a call. I say, who am I going to call? Who's the head of it? And it was Kevin Warren, who really turned out to be very open about it. And I said, Kevin, look, we'll help you with testing. We'll help you. We'll get you everything that you need. But you got to get it back for those states. Those states want it. They're real football states, as you can understand. And, you know, great teams and very unfair to players. It may be their last chance to show their skills to the NFL, and so they wouldn't get that. And I'll tell you, a group of people came together so fast once we started it because they sort of gave up. Although I will tell you, it didn't give up. The parents didn't give up, and the players didn't give up. They just wanted to play, and enough with this stuff. And I called Kevin. He was open to it. We started talking real fast and hard. And they ended up, it culminated in getting it done. And I have somebody, Tim Pataki, who did a really fantastic job, a young guy who works at the White House. He did a great job. He really did that full time. Now we're going to work on Pac-12. I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't be playing. Now they're the only ones, or just about. And they should be playing. Now, maybe you can't. I don't know. I mean, maybe you can't at this point. It's getting a little bit late. But they should be playing football. It's ridiculous. They may have a problem with their venues. Who knows? You know, and some of them have a problem with governors. The governors had to come together, and we had some governors that are Democrats. And it wasn't easy, but we got it done. And you're going to have some great football, Big Ten football. It's really terrific.
We're talking to the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and I know, based on my background interacting with him, Tim Pataki did an incredible job, who you just gave a shout out. He's an Ohio State grad. Over 300 calls, because some people out there, you know how it goes, and the media are going to say, oh, the White House had nothing to do with this. They had no impact. You guys were very helpful and impactful in making this a reality. I know that personally, but certainly the evidence reflects how hard Tim Pataki worked and other members of your administration. And I understand now there has been contact between the White House and the Pac-12 to also offer the same amount of help if the Pac-12 needs any assistance in order to be able to play this fall.
Well, I can tell you, Big Ten just needed some confidence in it and some backing, but we're given a lot of backing. No, without us, I'm not saying this for any reason. It was a terrible thing. You know, we did it. We absolutely did it. If we didn't get involved, you wouldn't even be talking about Big Ten right now. They had no chance of playing. They weren't going to play. And as soon as we did it for political reasons, a couple of people said, oh, they had nothing to do with it. They had nothing to do. And I'll tell you when I don't have something to do. Sometimes I get credit for something I shouldn't, in all fairness. That's okay, too. I'll take it. But in this case, we I mean, Tim and his whole group and me made a lot of calls to a lot of people to get this thing done. And it's sort of sad when you do something and then you have a Democrat or you know, opponent saying, well, they had nothing to do. And they know it's not true. We got it going. We got it started. We were able to show them the different testings. And they knew a lot about the testing anyway, but they just decided to go closed. And it was just not a good decision. And Kevin Warren did a fantastic job, by the way. Gave him a lot of credit. He got out and they just did a big reversal. And it's hard to do a reversal. You know, you make a decision, and now you have to say the decision we're going to change. So it's really a hard thing to do. But Kevin was fantastic, and some of the people we worked with were great. But no, we got that one open, and we're going to try and we're going to see what we can do. I hear there's a little flexibility at Pac-12, so I don't want to get people's hopes up too high. But there's a little bit of flexibility there. We'll see if we can do it.
When you look at the decisions that are being made in general, like Joe Biden ran television advertisements blaming you, I think it was in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, for there not being Big Ten football. Do you think that he will apologize now that you've helped to make Big Ten football a reality, maybe start running ads praising you?
Well, they did worse ads. They did ads that I said horrible things about soldiers,
yeah,
who had died, and that turned out to be a totally false story. It was made up. It's called disinformation, if you know what that is in the sports world. They made up a lie and they went with it. It's a disgusting. That was worse. But you know, with and that was just a terrible thing to do. That's a real. These are real low lives. That's why I take off the gloves, because you know Joe is not equipped, mentally equipped to be president. That I can tell you right now. He wasn't 25 years ago. But, you know, I figure I can take the gloves off, because when they did that. But they also did it in football. I hear somebody said, gee, it's too bad about football. I thought you liked football. I said, sure I do. Why? They're taking ads in very important states. You know, when you're talking about the states you mentioned, they're very important states, big, powerful swing states. And he's taking ads, and it's your fault that Big Ten isn't opened. I said, you got to be kidding. And I put very light pressure on Big Ten even before I started this heavy pressure stuff. And I said, you got to be kidding. I got a hold of the ad, and I said, what a lie. It's just a lie. And they knew it was a lie. They made it up. They make up stories. The worst campaign, most dishonest campaign I've ever seen, and the ballot sending, where do you see that, these unsolicited ballots, where do you see the mess that they want? They want it to be a mess. It's the only way they're going to win. It's the only way they can win is to cheat, in my opinion. So that sounds. See, football is a much more genteel sport than politics, I can tell you. But I really believe that they want to do this. I know they want to do. They want to make it a mess. But what happened? I saw the ad, and that's actually what got me into gear, because I said, "Oh, wait a minute! I want it to happen, but I really didn't think about getting involved." When I saw the ad, I said, "Let's get involved and get it open." So that ad is one of the reasons I got it open, because I just wanted to show that this was that was such a dirty thing to do. And I was publicly on record, as you know, Clay, saying, you know, you guys ought to get to play. And but it was just,
you said it on my show. That's why,
yeah,
I saw those ads. My wife,
who
doesn't even pay much attention to politics, she said, wait a minute, the president came on your show last month before the Big Ten and the Pac-12 shut down and said, right, it would be a tragic mistake if they didn't play. And then they blamed
absolutely
you for the games not being played.
Absolutely. It's 100%. And tell your wife I appreciate her good memory, because some people don't remember so well. Your wife has the memory. You probably don't remember it, and she does. It's the way you're married.
Well,
right?
Yeah, you know how marriage goes. She remembers everything
that's
I've ever done that's not
happened.
Perfect. And by the way,
it was such a bad, it was so egregious, and it was terrible. And because of that, I actually activated, and we got it done. So I'm very happy. A lot of people are really happy about it.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was going to tell you this last time when you came on, but you came on in August, and my 9-year-old son, when I said, hey, you know, the president's going to come on Dad's radio show, I swear to God, President Trump, the first thing he said was, wow, he knows Vince McMahon. That was his reaction when the president's going to come on the radio show. That's He's funny. Such a WWE fan. That's that his great. First reaction.
Well, so you know him. He's great. Actually, Vince is great.
Yeah, you could share that with Vince, that the first thought from my 9-year-old. When you look, you mentioned Joe Biden in the debate over Big Ten football and everything else. How excited are you? It's like a big sporting event for many people. Right. On September 29th, when the first debate happens, are you prepping? How do you get ready? It's almost like a sporting event, right? Debate is considered in many schools to be a sport. How do you prep? Who's playing the role of Joe Biden in the White House? What's that experience like, and how's it different to be prepping as a president as opposed to a contender when you were doing it last time against Hillary?
Well, I think in many ways it could be easier, but they'll make up stories like they did about Big Ten and other things, and you know they can hit you with different kinds of things. But we've done so well. I mean, until this pandemic came in, we had the greatest economy in the history of our country, and now we're building it back to a point where we're going to have it again. All the states that you just mentioned had the best economy they've ever had last year, and now it's heading back to that again. You know, the stock market's doing great. A lot of things are doing great. And we have vaccines coming very shortly. I mean, literally in a matter of weeks, we're going to have vaccines coming. So I think it would be a little bit easier. I think I can't tell you who's going to show up with Joe, because I've seen him where he's grossly incompetent, and I've seen him where he's sort of normal, like against Bernie. He debated normally. I don't know what he did, but he debated normally. But I've watched some of the other debates where he had the large number of Democrats, and I mean, he couldn't put 3 words together. It was terrible. So I don't know. You know, I don't know who's going to show up.
I saw where you said you would show up for Joe Rogan if he suggested a 4-hour debate between you and Joe Biden. How do you think it would go if Joe Biden and you showed up for a 4-hour debate with Joe Rogan?
Well, it was sort of done in jest and all, but I would. I mean, I think it's good. I think Joe has to be exposed, and we'll see. Look, with me, you know what you have, and we've done incredible deals with even Big Ten. I got Big Ten. No other president would have gotten involved in that, as an example. There's no other president, Clay, that would have. You understand that. They would have. Can you imagine Obama wouldn't have done it? Just wouldn't have done it. And it just is not in the makeup. And I tell you, can you imagine Biden doing it? He's a low-energy person. I used to call Jeb Bush low-energy, but I mean, if you compare the two, Jeb is extraordinarily energetic compared to Sleepy Joe. So, you know, I mean, Joe's not going to be doing that kind of stuff. And it's sort of fun because, you know, I have this platform, and it's sort of easy to do when you have we have this great platform. You're president of the United States. We hear that football all over these incredible states and all of the people that are affected by it, everybody, even in the stands, the people that work the stands, everybody. So many people, so many jobs, so many everything. And you have this platform and you go out and you use it and you use it for good. But I don't think a lot of people would do that. And I think a lot of people, if they did it, they wouldn't know how to do it.
I think you're right, and it's crazy to me that you get criticized for getting football back, right? I mean, like some of the media out there, they're upset because you got it back. And this goes to my mom. I mentioned my wife earlier, but she said, hey, make sure you tell the president this for me. So she's a big supporter. And she said the other day, you know, if President Trump went out in a boat, and you know, somebody's hat blew off and he stepped out of the boat, walked on water and picked up the hat and brought it back to the fisherman, the New York Times front page would say that Trump can't swim. So, you know, it's funny kind of the way sometimes the media plays. Like, you bring football back and people are mad about it.
Well, I'll tell you, I have the vaccine is way ahead of schedule. And now I'm being criticized on the vaccine because they're petrified that the vaccine comes in, you know, before the election. And I view it differently. I view it like we're going to save lives. It's a, you know, I think it's going to be a great vaccine and we're going to save lives. We have many great companies really close and probably have it and they're in tests right now. But I'm being criticized for bringing it back too fast. And one of the doctors said, you know, this is a crazy world politics. Everybody wanted to get a vaccine as fast as possible. President Trump gets it ready fast, and they're criticizing him, you know.
It is wild. Do you expect the vaccine to be ready before the election by late October, Halloween time?
It could be. It will be right there. I mean, it's right in that vicinity, either before a little or just shortly after, which is years ahead of schedule. You know, if you look at what was going on with vaccines, there was no chance. If you go back to another administration, and I'm not just talking about Obama. If you go back to another administration, Clay, there's no chance. This would have been 2, 3, 4 years because I've energized the FDA and we're approving things faster and safely. It's all, it has to be 100% safe. But I've energized the FDA, which would have taken 2, 3 years, and we're going to have something in a matter of weeks. But it's amazing. This never happened until a few weeks ago when they started criticizing the whole concept of this vaccine only because I did it. If it wasn't me, if it was somebody else, they'd say, oh, this is unbelievable. The vaccine's going to be here so early. And it's people are very aware of what's going on. They see what's happening. This is all done by the Democrats. They're very upset that we've done such a good job with the vaccine. They're very upset that we've done such a great job with, like, the ventilators when you had no ventilators and all of a sudden we started producing them. You know, we've done a good job with the COVID. This was given to us by China. Shouldn't have happened. Should have never happened. They stopped it from coming into China, but they let it go to the world. The whole world is suffering because of it. It's a disgrace. But we've done a great job. But the new thing is the vaccine, and they're very angry. And they should be happy because we're talking about saving a lot of lives, but that's the world of politics, Clay.
One of the world of politics that's crazy to me, speaking of the way that the media has covered the coronavirus in general, is they have praised Andrew Cuomo, who statistically has the worst death rate in the world, President Trump. I mean, that's not right. That's 100% true. He's writing a book about what a good job he did. You look at other states, Florida, Arizona, Texas, Republican governors, they've all done far better from a per capita perspective. And you would think that those guys have done awful jobs. All that matters is the difference between Republican and Democrat. I look at it like it's a scoreboard. Like, let's use data and actually use it. Like, it's wild to me that Andrew Cuomo is considered to be like the greatest governor in the history of mankind. When you look at his record, it's awful.
Yeah, he had a hard time. And I mean, I could tell you the story. I know the story better than anybody. I won't say it, but I'll tell you, he definitely had a hard time. A lot of people died, unfortunately.
And one of the decisions, obviously, was the nursing home, which I think needs to get looked into. But that seems to be a huge part of this, is a huge majority of the deaths in many countries are coming out of nursing homes. And nearly 50% in the United States, and it's only 0.6% of the population.
Right. We have the nursing home. Look, it affects elderly people, especially if you have a heart problem or diabetes in particular, but other things, too. But it turned out that they're vulnerable. And young kids, if you have kids, I mean, it's incredible. Their immune system is stronger. Who would have thought? And the younger, the better. But they have statistics where a certain state had many thousands of deaths, and not one death under 18.
Yeah.
Think of it. Not one.
No, my three kids are all back in school, which is why I've been arguing we need sports, we need people back at
work,
and all three of my kids are back in-person schooling, and I think that's important.
Good.
Yeah, and thank you for helping to make that happen. Question for you, and this is a little bit interesting. I don't know, in the grand scheme of things, Kim Jong-un, there's been all sorts of questions about what's going on in North Korea, and I'm curious what you think about his health. But also, word is that he is a big American sports fan, that he loved the Chicago Bulls, Dennis Rodman, sure. Michael Jordan. Have you ever talked with Kim Jong-un about the 90s Bulls? And what did he say? What kind of conversation did you guys have?
Well, he really does like Dennis Rodman, I will tell you. It's sort of great. I always said Dennis would be better than some of these stiffs that they used to send over to get to know him. And they'd send these people over, and they went to Harvard, and they are great students and great everything, but they have no chemistry whatsoever. He really did like Dennis Rodman. Dennis is a good guy, too. And I said, we should maybe use him instead of somebody that graduated number one at Harvard. Maybe we should use Dennis. I thought about that. But I have a very good relationship with him. He does love basketball, and he really does like Dennis.
And so I always thought, like, man, if you could just bring him over here to go meet Michael Jordan, like, we might be able to get a great peace accord. That to be based on how much he loved the Bulls.
Well, we've done well. We have a good relationship, and frankly, nothing's happened. If Hillary would have gotten in, or if you had a longer term Obama, you would have been in a war with them as sure as you're sitting there. And you would have had a war that would have been a really bad one. A lot of nuclear weapons, a lot of bad things would have happened. And we're right now just, hey, whatever happened to that war, right? And I have a relationship. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not saying we did a great thing the other day with Israel and Bahrain. You saw in UAE.
Yes.
And that's just the beginning. We have a lot of other countries that want to sign into that. You'll end up in peace in the Middle East. And people are, even the New York Times is giving that one rave reviews, which is shocking.
They said if you move the embassy to Jerusalem, everything would fall apart.
Yeah.
Instead, it seems like it might actually have helped in a major way, which is counterintuitive.
Right.
Last couple of questions for you here. Did you watch Tom Brady at all play with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I did. I watched, but football's way down ratings-wise, way down, because people are not going to stand for this stuff anymore. Where they're not respecting our flag and our national anthem. They're just not going to stand for it. Ratings were way down. I did watch Tom, and I like Tom a lot, and I think he'll be fine. It was, you know, I guess it was a break-in game. The other team's a good team, good quarterback, and it was an interesting game. What did you think?
I think the big debate, it's like a divorce, right? Belichick and Brady, and which one's going to have a better post-divorce life.
Right.
And I liked the way that Cam played for the Patriots and Belichick.
Right.
And if you were buying stock in Belichick right now or in Brady right now for this season, which one do you think is the better buy?
Well, they're friends of mine, but I will tell you this. He's some coach. He's a very good friend of mine, and he's tough, and he endorsed me. And, you know, he endorsed me the first time, too, and he said some people don't want to get involved, okay? They just don't. He doesn't care. He couldn't care less. He wants to do whatever's right. He's a tough guy. And he's just a great coach. I remember when he said the field goal against Atlanta, go for the field goal. They were getting killed. They had a chance for a touchdown or a field goal, and he kicked the field goal. And what was the score, like 27-3?
28-3 they were down, yeah.
Yeah, and he kicks a field goal. And I said, geez, that's not a good decision. It ended up to be a perfect decision because they ended up tied, and then they ended up winning the game if he doesn't have that field goal. Now, maybe they would have made a touchdown. You know, who knows what happens. But there's a case where you would have said that's too conservative, right? And but he is a great coach. I've watched him win games that other coaches just wouldn't win. But he's a great guy, too.
No doubt. Last question for you. Does it seem as crazy to you as it does to many people in my audience that for high school football in particular, you've helped to get the Big Ten back? We may end up with Pac-12 playing, Mountain West, other conferences could be coming back. But if you look at the data in different states for high school kids, whether they have a Democrat governor or a Republican governor, in many respects, seems to be deciding whether high school kids should be able to play football or sports in the fall in general.
Yeah.
Shouldn't kids be able to play sports regardless of whether the governor is a Democrat or a Republican?
Well, it's too bad it has to be that way. But if you look at these states with high crime, they're run by Democrats. You look at the cities with high crime, they're run by Democrats. And the Democrats, I'll tell you what, their philosophies are not working too well. And certainly their philosophies on law and order are working very badly. You look at all of the places that have problems, you know, Portland, look at that. It's run by these radical left Democrats. It's a disaster. We go in, I could fix that up in a half an hour. We'll send in the National Guard. They have to ask us. It has to be requested. But all of these places are run by liberal Democrats. And so, I don't know. It's sort of, it should be easy. We're going to find out whether or not people agree with me.
Last question. Did you tell my producer, Danny G, that he deserved a raise when you called last time?
Absolutely. I said, you got the president. But you really do. You have a great show, and he's a nice guy. But I said, you got the president on the phone. You deserve a raise. I haven't done too many of these calls lately.
I appreciate it, sir. We'd love to have you back on anytime you want to come on. Keep doing good work, and thanks for the work you did for the Big Ten.
Thank you very much, Clay. Everyone have a good time. Thank you.
That is the president of the United States, Donald Trump.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.